apologize. No contact with reality.
Do I have to tie you down to keep you quiet?
The Lost Man.
I'm not only the heckler president, I'm also a client.
The Lost Man.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
The Lost Man.
Oh, yes, I'm insensitive. I'm a very insensitive man.
The Lost Man.
I remember when I was 10 years old, I wasn't very smart.
You're not very smart now.
The Lost Man.
He is a loathsome, offensive brute. Yet I can't look away.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy
Pants. Your troubles are over.
Welcome one, welcome all to this Sunday afternoon edition to the best radio variety show, period, here on KCXL, 1140 AM. Let's get that straight from the get-go. It always has been, always will be, the best radio variety show, period, right here on KCXL. Hope you all had a great week, and I definitely did. Working the night shift now, down at police headquarters in the communications department, trying to get adjusted to that, but enjoying that. And went to my son's play this week. He was in the junior version of Annie at the Maple Park Middle School, part of the North Kansas City School District. And I was impressed. I mean, my son's really multi-talented, but he had a solo singing part. I may sound a little biased here, but I'm telling you, the kids stole the show. Everybody there thought so. So, hey, just congratulations to him and the rest of the teachers, staff, and students of Maple Park Middle School for a great of the junior version of Annie. And also want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, Effective Sales Development, www.effectivesales.net, 816-505-2500. Hung out at the Redemption Tournament with Todd Gordon from Redemption yesterday for a little while. www.redemptioncentral.20.fr.com for more information on Redemption, more local and other tournaments coming up. We've got a district tournament coming up here, I believe, in June. We'll keep you updated on that. And also, big shout-out, as always, to my coworkers and superiors down at the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, www.kcpd.org, where we are proud to be kind, considerate, professional, and dedicated. That, my friends, is and always will be law enforcement KC style.
Hi.
Well, the other thing is I'm proud of today is our guest here on the show is Debbie Dunlap. She is the owner of the ultimate, and I want to make sure we mention that, folks, the ultimate Cary Grant website, www.carygrant.net. We're going to look at the life and career of this great Hollywood icon, Cary Grant, today. Play some sound bites. I'm going to ask her some questions about his career. She's going to give us her testimony for Christ, and we're just going to have a good time. So let's get Debbie on the line and get right to it. You there, Debbie?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, hey, welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, greetings. Shooky doogie.
Glad to have you on the show today. Matt's been playing with the sound bites here, getting those ready to go for us, so we're going to have a good time with that. So,
did you find the sound bites on my site?
Yes, I did.
Yes, there are lots of them there.
Yeah, I got most of them off your site, a few of them off of
I don't like that look in your eyes.
Cary Grant at realclassics.com. So, but and so you are the owner of CaryGrant.net,
mm-hmm.
And I want to first of all mention, appreciate the posting you did on your website about you being on the show today. If you go to her website, www.CaryGrant.net, there's a posting there about her being on the show today, so check that out. And, first of all, Debbie, tell us, first of all, the thing I wanted to say is, first of all, tell us your testimony for Christ, and I know that also ends up involving some of the other questions that I sent to you, so let's start off with that.
Well, I believe my testimony is my life. I don't believe that one moment defines our walk with the Lord. I think that every day we walk with the Lord, and it's our worship to Him. One thing God tells us is that we're given different gifts, and one of mine, I think, was faith. I remember when I was about 4 years old, I lost my favorite baby doll. We lived on a railroad track, and I remember my mother taking me up and down the railroad track, down, back around the house, in front of the house, everywhere. We went everywhere looking for that. She was being a good mommy and making me feel like we looked everywhere. And I remember finding my baby doll a couple of days later in my toy box. And believe me, we scoured that toy box. And I just knew that Jesus had put my toy, my baby doll back there because I prayed about it, prayed about it. I used to hug him at night before I went to sleep. And I went to church even when my family wasn't going to church. If there was a church across the street when I was in sixth grade, I went to church across the street. It didn't matter where I went. And when I got to be about 18, I wasn't satisfied with the social issues being preached from the pulpit, so I went searching, and I went to lots and lots of different congregations and lots of different places, and finally found one that preached straight out of the Bible, and have really been testing myself ever since. I was when I was about 18, 20 years old, and I was baptized when I was about 22, and I've been really challenging myself to live my faith and to have my life be a worship. And my sight came about because of my resolve to have my children be bathed in a more godly atmosphere. And that was turning off the television. Your show has a lot to do with being family-friendly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Everything we do here is family-friendly. I'm also, like I told you before, part of the Integrity Sports Network. We do a lot of play-by-play for a lot of local high school sports and other things. And our motto is no babes, no beer, no betting, no language, because we even want little kids to be able to listen to our shows. And my show is proudly part of JPEG Ministries programming. And JPEG Ministries' motto is we are bringing you a snapshot of heaven on earth. So, yes, everything we do here is family-friendly.
And so probably the people that are listening to this show right now are just tired of the garbage that is being thrown at us on television. So I turned off the TV. My husband and I made that decision. No cable, no antenna, nothing was coming into the house. But when you get TV turned off, you get kind of like withdrawal symptoms.
Absolutely. I can relate.
And so I went out and bought videos at the mom-and-pop video stores. That was at the beginning of the video store craze. They were just coming out, but they were all mom-and-pop. There weren't any Blockbusters out there at that time. And so I'd go to them, and I'd rent the movies, and all of a sudden they started going out of business because Blockbuster came in. I don't know how old you are, but if there was a very short period of time where there's mom-and-pop shops thrived, and then they were gone because of
the... Yeah, I'm 37, and I remember a lot of those. As a matter of fact, I still have some close friends that have known me since I was knee-high to a grasshopper that are right in the neighborhood that I grew up in, and I still don't live too far from that area, and I get videos from them regularly, and they're still just a little mom and pop, and you would be surprised. I mean, with the Blockbusters and the Hollywood videos and all that, I was just talking to Jim recently, and he said he loses an average of $30,000 a year because of those. Yeah,
it was very difficult for them to stay in business. So they were going out of business, and they were going out of business just about the time that we were getting, you know, I needed a Jeopardy fix. That was the one thing I missed the most. And
I'll take Cary Grant for $500.
That's right. He's been on there a few times. But I picked up four or five Cary Grant movies that were being sold for like $5 a piece or something like that. And I really didn't know who Cary Grant was other than he was in Philadelphia Story and Arsenic Hill Place. That was it. But I liked Jimmy Stewart, and Jimmy Stewart was in the Philadelphia Story, and I knew he was kind of like wholesome like that, so I picked him up, and that was it. That was the beginning of the end. After watching those four or five movies, I went out and found as many as I possibly could. And so my walk with the Lord led me to my looking for something wholesome to watch on television. My watching wholesome television led to my enjoyment of Cary Grant movies. And then my husband issued me a challenge. I don't know. Did you go on my website and find out how my website started?
No, I didn't get that far into it yet.
But I'll save that for a little bit. But really, truly, my interest in Cary Grant never would have begun had I not turned off that television because I was disgusted with just the ungodly lifestyle that were being portrayed.
Oh, I can relate. Like I said, I've been raising my kids pretty much on, you know, the Three Stooges, the Little Rascals, Shirley Temple, the Andy Griffith Show. And then some of the classics too. I mean, I've shown them some of the Cary Grants and Jimmy Stewart's, and like, you know, my son, you know, one of his absolute favorites is the Jimmy Stewart movie Strategic Air Command. And he'll have little kids. I mean, he's 11 years old, and there'll be, you know, little kids his age that'll come over and stuff like that. And he'll start. You know, he loves to do. Like, you know, he knows I'm into a lot of the, you know, the 70s stuff. You know, as far as, like, you know, the cop shows, Starsky and Hutch and SWAT and you know, all that type of stuff. And so, you know, he loves introducing these young kids who are from a different generation, who have never heard of, you know, some of the 70s stuff or the classics or whatever. And I mean, and he acts like they're just supposed to know these things naturally. What? You've never seen Starsky and Hutch? What is wrong with... So, and it, okay, tell me you've seen Strategic Air Command. I'm like, John, that's way before their time. You know? I mean, I appreciate his diligence, but they're just not going to understand. So, you know, he's been pretty good in that area.
Yeah.
Insanity runs in my family.
It practically gallows.
It practically gallows. Yes, it does.
But I through my website, I've had people, because with all my emails, as you've noticed, I end them with God bless. And most people don't do that nowadays, because the vast majority of people don't seem to be Christians right now, or at least don't proclaim it quite as often as they ought to. And I've gotten requests for prayers from people all over the world. Someone's mother may have breast cancer. Someone's child may be ill. Someone's, you know, sibling may have been in a car accident. And they'll email me and they'll say, I know you are a praying person. Can you please pray for so-and-so? And I really truly believe, even if you look at my site, that you can see that demeanor touches every part of my life. And I hope that it touches the website. One of the things I hope people notice is that I don't try and glorify Cary Grant the man as much as I just try and emphasize that I enjoy the craft, and that he was able to bring such enjoyment to people's lives through his acting.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, with me. I mean, I'm a huge, you know, Jimmy Stewart fan as well. And my sister and I, as a matter of fact, are going to be doing a Jimmy Stewart show on June 4th, so feel free to tune in and call in for that as well. But, you know, once again, it's not about necessarily promoting Jimmy Stewart the man, even though he was one of the few actors in Hollywood that had an absolute solid moral character and stuff like that. And so many people throughout history have commented on the purity, the realism of Jimmy Stewart. But, I mean, the person we want to promote in our lives is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because he is the foundation and the center of everything we do. But at the same time, in trying to follow him and live a more pure lifestyle and introduce our families to cleaner stuff, then you run across Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, and any of those, you know, actors of that era.
And I think a lot of that, I'll probably be struck dead by some of the more liberal people, is William Hayes, for all his, I don't know, brashness and the hatred that comes from it. Most of these actors were under the thumb. They had to adhere to the Hays Code, which kept things clean. If you look at things before the Hays Code, there were some pretty raunchy things out there in the silence and in the early talkies. But the Hays Code really kept things clean. And, you know, there's something to be said for censorship, because people on their own don't seem to want to censor themselves. So I know that's probably a very un-PC thing for me to say, but...
Well, no, hey, Debbie, feel free to say that all you want, because I'm with you 100%. I mean, you know, like I said, and entertainment today, I mean, I tell people flat out, the reason I like all this stuff so much is because the stuff today is junk.
Yeah.
It's junk. I'm sorry. Call me what you want to, but it is, okay? And that's, I mean, and another thing, you mentioned the early, you know, talkies and stuff like that. You know, another one of, you know, my kids' favorites, you know, that mentions that change from silent to having sound in movies, Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. My daughter loves it, you know?
There's some wonderful forms of entertainment out there simply because they had to work harder to get their message across because they couldn't blatantly just throw it at you.
Right.
They had to the double entendres, the triple entendres, and just pure entertainment for the sake of entertainment instead of shock.
Yeah, people look at me funny these days because when my cell phone rings,
mm-hmm.
singing in the rain. So.
So ask me another question.
Okay. You talked about how you first became a Cary Grant fan. What are some of your favorite Cary Grant movies or moments?
I love Holiday. And if you like Philadelphia Story, have you seen Holiday?
I believe I have, but it's been a while.
Holiday to me seems like the predecessor of the Philadelphia Story. Like, Philadelphia Story should be Holiday Part 2. Holiday's just wonderful. He's at his most Archie Leach, I believe, in Holiday. There's a lot of, naivete in him, and he's got the floppy hair coming down. He does a lot of acrobatics in Holiday. He and Katharine Hepburn are my favorite together, and they were just superb. Their timing is fabulous. They did some acrobatic tricks together in Holiday. I just love it. Can't tell, can you?
Yeah, I can definitely tell.
And then the Philadelphia Story is number two.
Right. I am mad about Philadelphia Story. I just love every bit of it. So.
Talk about one of my favorite moments is that look when Mike asks Tracy to marry him, and the look on C.K. Dexter Haven's face is just like his whole world is falling down around him. I just love that because he's so adept at acting without ever saying a word.
Right, right.
And, he practiced that. That was part of his training with the Pender Group. It was a pantomime group. So he had to learn to get emotions across, whether it was happy emotions or sad emotions, whatever. He had to learn to get those across with body movement and facial expression. So he was a master at doing that. And if you watch him, I'm sure you saw it.
I just watched it Friday night, as a matter of fact.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because he can just sit in the background while two other characters are conversing, and your eyes almost drawn to him because of his reactions to them speaking.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I like the line, and I think I have that on this soundbite CD here, if I can find that, is the doggone it, C.K. Dexter Haven, either you're going to sock me or I'm going to sock you. Shall we flip a coin? You know? But on that note, real quick, we're going to take a real quick break here.
Okie doke.
On the best radio variety show, period, here on KCXL, 1140 AM. We'll be right back with Debbie Dunlap with CaryGrant.net, and we'll be back.
How long did you wait? I mean, did you wait long?
I waited until about...
midnight.
Oh.
And then what did you do?
Well, then I got really mad. Well, you can imagine standing up there on the...
Yes, in a thunderstorm.
In a thunderstorm.
KCXL, Liberty, Kansas City, 1140 AM. The station that dares be different. We will be heard.
Hi, this is Steve Montague, President of Effective Sales Development. You are listening to The JPEG Show on KCXL, Liberty, Missouri, 1140 AM.
Hey, Peg, that's Shine.
I know, it's the newsboy.
No, not the song, your car. That's Shine. You must have gone to the Green Lantern Car Wash again.
That's right. I wouldn't go anywhere else. I love how they get my car sparkling clean in just a matter of minutes.
Fast, shiny, and dry every time. It's not just a slogan. It's their promise.
Yeah, and it's located at 152 and I-35 highways next to Home Depot.
The Green Lantern Car Wash. Fast, shiny, and dry every time.
This message is about sales. It's short and to the point. I'm Steve Montague of Effective Sales Development. Were there lost sales because you couldn't get the customer to be honest with you about their true buying motives? Were there times you did proposals, then came to the conclusion that the customer wasn't ever going to buy? If you've experienced any of these sales opportunities and came away with nothing for your efforts, you need to learn new sales skills and attitude. You have to make a change. Make a commitment to learn new sales skills and attitudes. I'm Steve Montague of Effective Sales Development. Call me, 816-505-2500. 816-505-2500. Authorized licensee of the Sandler Sales Institute.
Effective Sales Development's training program is famous for being expensive and difficult, but it was worth every penny. Steve Montague's system is proven, and it will be the most important call you will ever make.
Hey, I'm JP.
And I'm Peg.
And we're the JPEG Show, bringing you a snapshot of heaven on earth.
Join our unique radio ministry program every Sunday from noon to 8.
Our shows can be heard right here on KCXL AM 1140.
We combine the very best of music, talk, sports, and entertainment that's safe for the entire family.
And for more information, check out our website, thejpegshow.com. Again, that's this Sunday starting at noon right here on KCXL 1140 AM, Liberty, Missouri. When you need a security company that brings pride, experience, and professionalism, look no further than Heartland Security Services. Owner Vic Kohling brings 33 years of experience in the law enforcement and security industry. Heartland Security provides home and business protection that is ahead of the rest. Prideful, well-trained security guards that are loyal to you and the job they do. Their goal is to provide you with an officer whose experience and personality best meets your needs and situations. You want quality? Every officer receives personal instruction and ongoing training. Heartland Security's commitment is professionalism, not just a warm body. So, remember, Heartland Security offers short or long-term officers for your home or business. Check out their website at heartlandsecurity.biz for all their services and products they offer. Or call them at 816-468-9551. Again, that's 816-468-9551. And rest easy knowing that Heartland Security is on your side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for The Losh Man, the craziest man on the radio on KCXL Liberty, 1140 AM.
Sales should be the highest paid profession, but there are two kinds of salespeople. Those who say that they'll do something different in 2006, and those who will take real steps to hit the ground running. I am Steve Montague of Effective Sales Development. We are not for everyone. We don't waste time on motivational foolishness or cheap sales gimmicks. We don't bore professionals with obvious or tried techniques. For those with determination and guts, our training works. If you are ready to get really serious about your sales career, then call us at Effective Sales Development, 816-505-2500. Effective Sales Development, 816-505-2500. Authorized licensee of the Sandler Sales Institute.
Effective Sales Development's training program is famous for being expensive and difficult, but it was worth every penny. Steve Montague's system is proven, and it will be the most important call you will ever make.
Help the homeless get off the street and on their feet just by using your feet. On Saturday, May 20th, join over 1,000 people all around Kansas City in Hillcrest Ministries Walk for the Homeless. Hillcrest is a 90-day transitional housing program that helps homeless families become self-sufficient, contributing members of our community. Hillcrest Ministries has housing throughout the Kansas City area. Remember, that walk's on Saturday, May 20th. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to hillcrestministries.org or call 816-781-8988. That's 816-781-8988. Together, we can make a real difference in the lives of homeless families.
New from Pontiac. Where do you turn when gas prices are out of control?
Trailmaster.
What do you do when you have to cross rugged terrain but don't have the money to fill your tank?
Trailmaster.
Introducing the Pontiac Trailmaster, an all-new approach to an old way of getting around. The Pontiac Horse and Buggy Trailmaster. With sleek carriage design, you'll ride around in 18th century comfort. New Pontiac Horse and Buggy Trailmaster. Throw the problems of today's economy behind you and ride off into the sunset.
Man, I am so tired of being an arm and a leg for gas.
That went up again today.
Yeah, remember when it was $3 a gallon?
Don't remind me.
Well, Steve, how would you like to save up to 50 cents a gallon?
Man, I would love to save my hard-earned money.
Hey, KCXL listeners, the time is now to stick it to the man. Get up to 25% more MPG while your car runs cooler with stronger horsepower. It's simple, safe, and it just makes sense. Call 816-695-6358. That's 816-695-6358. Hey, I'm JP.
And I'm Peg.
And we're the JPEG Show, bringing you a snapshot of heaven on earth.
Join our unique radio ministry program every Sunday from noon to 8.
Our shows can be heard right here on KCXL AM 1140.
We combine the very best of music, talk, sports, and entertainment that's safe for the entire family.
And for more information, check out our website, thejpegshow.com. Again, that's this Sunday starting at noon right here on KCXL 1140 AM, Liberty, Missouri.
Come from my own little planet, because I come from the planet Wash Man, where, you know, all we do is sit around and watch classic movies all day long. So anyway, we're back with Debbie Dunlap from CaryGrant.net. And
do you know who I am? Not exactly, no.
Well, she's Debbie and I'm John. I know that much, but, you know. But anyway, well, Debbie, did Cary Grant have any particular favorites of the movies he made, and what made those special to him?
He really didn't have a favorite. He was very circumspect anytime anyone would ask him that question. So that one's not an easy one to answer, because he wouldn't even answer it himself.
Oh, okay. Did he have any favorite actors or actresses to work with?
He mentions Grace Kelly and Audrey Hepburn and Katherine Hepburn most often. Ingrid Bergman, of course. And then Deborah Carr is in one of his interviews. He's mentioned her. But Grace Kelly was by far his favorite. He was impressed with her youth and her ability to just be totally relaxed and totally professional when she was on screen. He just loved her.
Well, and I know Katherine Hepburn had to have been in there, too, as you mentioned.
I found a quote. Let me find it here. It says, unless one is an idiot, one doesn't do things again if he doesn't enjoy them. And he worked with her 4 times. So,
holy mackerel.
He thought she was marvelous. So I often wonder if something more couldn't have come between the two of them. But I read somewhere in one of his, maybe it was her biography or something he'd written, that it was just a bad time when they first met for both of them. They were both otherwise occupied. So,
holy mackerel!
Well, I know between the Philadelphia Story and Holiday and bringing up Baby and stuff like that, I mean, they were just, like you said, they were just fantastic together.
They were just both so wonderfully matched comedically, and the power of their performances and everything. They were a wonderful, wonderful team. Like I said, they're my favorite. And I've got a very frequently visited part of my site where I let people vote for their favorite co-stars.
Mm-hmm.
And Katherine Hepburn always is blown away It doesn't matter how long it's been since I've tallied up the numbers. Katherine Hepburn's always number one. So she's not only my favorite, but she's a lot of other people's favorite, too.
Well, I'm sure. Were there any male actors that he particularly enjoyed working with?
I can't say that he mentions anyone by name, but Everett Horton was in four different movies with him. And I just love him. If you're familiar with him at all, he's a great character actor. You can just start cracking up just looking at his face. He's just hilarious. I wanted to mention a couple of the obscure, hard-to-find movies that I enjoy that most people don't see. And Everett Horton is in two of them, Kiss and Make Up and Ladies Should Listen. They are two early screwballs that are, they're terrible. But they're wonderful. They are just so, especially Kiss and Make Up, it's so campy. And Ladies Should Listen is almost like a sequel to Kiss and Make Up. They are so funny, and Edward Everett Horton just makes the show. He is just, one of the songs they sing is Corned Beef and Cabbage, I Love You.
Okay.
That doesn't tell you how campy the story is. I don't know what will, but I really, really recommend some of the hard-to-find movies. Just, you know, if you haven't seen any of them and you get a hankering to see some of these oldies, go looking for them because they're great fun.
Well, the ones I recommend to everybody are The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer with Cary Grant and Shirley Temple. I Was a Male War Bride, Father Goose, Operation Petticoat with Tony Curtis, Houseboat, of course, The Philadelphia Story. Great Adventure was another one that I just adore.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of him going out and trying to live without, you know, and having to actually go out and get a regular job and this type of thing, and having that challenge and overcoming that obstacle was great. Arsenic and Old Lace, obviously, is just hilarious from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Lucky. And then also last night I noticed None But the Lonely Heart. I think Mr. Lucky and None But the Lonely Heart were very similar to each other.
Very
dark. And the types of character that he played, the type of dialogue that they used, the type of humor that was in there, the type of town setting that it was set in. I mean, everything was just so similar.
Did you like the darkness? Did you like the change in his...
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did. You know? So, well, those are the ones that I definitely recommend.
Have you seen Notorious?
Yes, I have.
And yep. you didn't see that same dark thread running through there?
Well, that's another one that's been a while since I've seen it. I have it, but it's been a while since I've actually watched it. So, I mean, my movie collection is huge, particularly in the classic, you know, movie and TV area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I never get around to watching, you know, everything all the time. So,
yeah.
Well, I also have to ask, I know you say he didn't mention any particular actors. Was there ever any mention of how he enjoyed his interaction with Jimmy Stewart in the Philadelphia Story?
They enjoyed each other a lot, and I know you're probably familiar with this story, but during that drunk scene when Jimmy Stewart burps, that was all ad-libbed, and they were both just practically cracking up the entire time. They could hardly keep a straight face.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that was ad-libbed.
Yes, it was all ad-libbed.
But that's great. Like, so I enjoyed that whole interaction there.
Yeah, I think you can tell how well they got along just by how well the movie comes together.
Yeah, so when Jimmy Spears getting out of the car and he says to the driver, "You hurry back to the ball before you turn into a pumpkin and four white mice or something like that, goodbye." And then he starts shouting, "C.K. Dexter Haven! Oh, C.K. Dexter Haven!"
You do that very well.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I try to do Jimmy Stewart whenever I can.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
Yes, it definitely
yes, it is.
And I'm enjoying every moment of it. So, and actually, I'm in the puppet drama ministry of my church, and I got a puppet of my own from my in-laws here a while back. Don't get to use it that much anymore, but when I do use it, I've nicknamed it Jimmy Stewart. And I always try to do his voice.
Oh, wonderful.
So, you know, I very, very much enjoy that. So,
That's fun.
Yeah. Were there any particular movies that he, I know you said, like you said, that he didn't necessarily have any favorites, but were there any that he maybe struggled with, maybe very, didn't like doing very well?
You're going to be really surprised by this, but he did not like Arsenic and Old Lace.
You're kidding me.
He hated it. And guess who he thought should have done it?
Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah.
He thought it would have been a perfect vehicle for
him. Holy
mackerel. Yeah, I can't necessarily argue. I mean, I loved Cary Grant in that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can't argue that maybe Jimmy Stewart would have been a good fit.
Would have been wonderful too. Yes.
Or maybe
he refused to watch Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh,
he
wow.
thought he was ridiculous in it because he had to overact so much in it. He just thought he was ridiculous and wouldn't watch it.
Yeah, either that or Jimmy Stewart should have had some part in it. I think Jimmy Stewart should have been a cop. And that's what I think. If he didn't play Mortimer Brewster's part, he should have been the cop.
Yeah.
You know? So, but, what did he like or dislike about working under Alfred Hitchcock?
He loved Alfred Hitchcock. He, in one of his interviews, he said he went to work whistling when he had to go to work with Alfred Hitchcock. Cary Grant was such a perfectionist, and I believe that Alfred Hitchcock was equally as well. And because of that, they played off of each other. And Alfred Hitchcock's the one who persuaded Cary Grant to come out of his early retirement in the early 50s. He dangled Grace Kelly in front of him. What man could resist that, I guess?
Oh, there you go. Every situation I've heard is just that Alfred Hitchcock was just a wonderful man to work with.
Yeah, just, I mean, as a creative genius and, like I said, his perfectionism. I think they were great friends. As a matter of fact, the Life Achievement special that they had for Alfred Hitchcock, Cary Grant was seated right next to him at the big round table with him. And Ingrid Bergman, who had the key from Notorious, handed it back to Cary or Alfred, I forget at the time. But the three of them had quite a nice relationship. Alfred Hitchcock loved Ingrid Bergman as well, and Cary and Ingrid Bergman were fast friends.
Right. Well, I know Jimmy Stewart did, The Man Who Knew Too Much, and
mm-hmm.
Vertigo, and Rear Window, and whatnot, with Alfred Hitchcock as well. So.
Yeah, he loved Jimmy Stewart as well, yeah.
And who came up with the type of dialogue that were used in the movies like Mr. Lucky, The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer, and None But the Lonely Heart?
And those were all written by different writers. Sidney Sheldon wrote The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. I read his biography, his memoirs, just recently, and they're really good. Clifford Odets wrote None But the Lonely Hearts, and Mr. Lucky was written by someone else. He was able to pick and choose his own script at that point in his career. So he was very savvy businessman marketing Cary Grant. So he made sure that he knew and he liked what was written for him before he would put a stamp of approval on his face would be shown in that movie.
Right. And I gotta tell you, Mr. Lucky has taught me a whole new vocabulary. Tit for tat, that's the hat. The fiddle is the coat. And the I suppose is the nose, not the dice of the eyes. And if we're going together, you'd be my Bridie Marner.
Yeah,
and I'd be the guy that gave you the something special for your long and linger. And
mm-hmm.
I loved it. I've been
Bridie Marlin. That's what he called her. He did that too.
Yeah. So and I was loving that and just thinking about that since I watched that yesterday. I'm gonna have to try some of that slang on people.
That'd be great fun with your kids.
Yeah.
It's almost like teaching them pig Latin. They think they know something somebody else doesn't know.
If you don't behave, I'm going to stick you in the Tommy Horner. Oh, what?
Yeah.
I don't understand the reason for that last movement. Would you mind demonstrating it again?
I'm gonna put your I suppose in the Tommy Horner,
People looking at the sideways.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in a recent phone conversation, and you kind of elaborated on that earlier with the prayer request you get in that type of thing, but in a recent phone conversation you and I had, you kind of talked about, I was sharing some of the frustrations that sometimes come with doing this, and you were talking about doing similar situations with your website sometimes, and that there have been times you thought about throwing in the towel, but then all of a sudden somebody comes along and God sends somebody your way that just inspires you to keep going. Are there any particular, there was a particular situation I think you shared with me about someone who had lost a child, I believe it was?
Yes. Somebody's trying to call into my line, so if I can blank out for a minute, that'll be why. now the second beep gun. There was a lady who emailed me, and this was another situation, who was just really having a hard time in her life, and this was right after someone had basically tried to steal my site. Just lock, stock, and barrel, take the whole kit and caboodle and replicate it somewhere else. And I thought, this is my enjoyment, this is my hobby. If it's going to become stressful, I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth the trouble. And within a couple of days, I got this email stating that, thank you for putting this site up. I've had a really difficult time. Didn't know how we were going to make it through this situation. We got online. We read about Cary Grant's tough life story. Figured if he could make it through it, we were inspired to know that we could get through this too. And if you look at Cary Grant's background, he was very poverty-stricken, lonely. He was an only child. His mother was sent to an insane asylum when he was 9 years old. He was never told that. He was just told she went away. Was left to his own devices, was walk the wharfs, and was a very lonely child. And yet, look what he didn't even graduate from school. He quit school at 14 years old. And yet he was able to become the person he was. He was a man of integrity for all intents and purposes. There are some parts of his life, like he had a lot of women, but he was still discreet with them, if that's any compensation. But for most part, he had a lot of integrity and pulled himself up by his bootstraps, and this helped this lady in her difficulties. And thank you for maintaining this website. Thank you for blah, 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 blah. And it was kind of like a stamp of approval that I needed. God said, okay, I know you're having a hard time. You think you're about pulling the plug in this whole thing. There are people out there that need this for one reason or another, and you need to keep it going. And I was really rather awestruck by that, because, you know, you do your own little thing in life, and you really think people aren't noticing, or it really doesn't matter what contribution you're making. And something as quote-unquote silly as a Cary Grant website was making a difference in people's lives, and it was kind of humbling and awesome to discover that my little efforts sitting here at my computer are making a difference in people's lives. So our ministry is just our everyday walk, and it'll bloom where you are planted. Do what you can for the Lord wherever you are, and you can make a difference.
Well, I hear you. And I mean, like I said, I've had similar situations with this too, and I thought about throwing in the towel a few times. And I've had people come along and say, hey, you've got something special here. You're using it for a ministry. You're not using it for your own gain or anything like that. So, you know, we won't let you quit. And so they go out and help me find sponsors and help me find guests and you know, do special promotions like Todd Gordon from Redemption Central, that is the local coordinator for a Christian card game, was a Christian alternative to the Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh crazy kids are into.
Mm-hmm.
He signed up his company, has got his boss to become a sponsor. They're getting ready to renew their sponsorship for a second term. You know, like I said, a couple times a month I go to these tournaments that Redemption does now. I've had him, the Redemption Kids, on the show. And a lot of times he will do like color flyers on guests that I'm having on the show and distribute those and things like that. And just does, you know, whenever they're doing the Redemption tournaments, he did a flyer with some pictures that he took of them in the studio with me. And so whenever they're having the Redemption tournaments, along with the different Redemption flyers and Redemption material he has out there, he always has that flyer taped to the thing. And so I'm sitting there, and people come up and kind of start glancing at the Redemption material and wonder what's going on there. And he says, oh, and hey, by the way, this is the Lost Man. KCXL 1140, and hey, this is the flyer we did on when we were on his show, and we're going to do another show here before too long. He's our official radio spokesperson, and I mean, so he builds me up like a, you know, local celebrity, and you know, people like that, you know, really help keep me going as well. So, you know, it's definitely great when God sends people your way to, you know, to keep you going.
Well, even you're asking me to do this interview. I mean, who am I? I'm just a housewife that sits at home and plays on the computer. And I don't know who's listening. If, you know, I don't know who's going to be affected by something that I say, even today. And I'm just amazed. I stand amazed.
Well, and that's kind of the attitude I've always had is, you know, because I used to do a sports show on Saturday nights. And it could have gone a lot farther than it did. But for some reason, when I started doing it, I was actually intimidated by the thought of, you know, who am I? I'm just this little two-hour-a-week, you know, radio guy in a small AM station. I can't just call these guys up and say, come on my show. But then all of a sudden, when I switched to doing the variety show, for some reason, when I get on websites to do research or, you know, whatever, and, you know, someone like your site would say, email me at, you know. So it just came naturally to me, okay, write down the, you know, email address and send them an email and, hey, how about coming on the show? And, you know, and some of those people that helped keep me going have told me, you know, you've got to stop thinking of yourself as just, well, who am I? Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, you're the wash man. You got the best radio variety show, period, doggone it.
Aww.
You know? So, you know, you got to think of your, you know, I mean, it's humility. Yes, it's a good thing, and I come from a situation where years ago I used to love to do nothing but talk about me. And a pastor that I had at one point sent me down and said, you know what, John, life, ministry, everything, it's not about you. You've accepted Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation by his death on the cross. You have accepted him. You have faith. You have that to share with other people, and you know what? Nothing. Not what you do for a living, not how much money you make, the kind of house you live in, the kind of car you drive. Nothing else matters. And if people say, hey, John, how are you? They don't want a 30-minute dissertation. I look at John, he's super salesman. They want you to say, well, hey, you know, I had a great week, but tell me about yours.
Yeah.
And last time we were talking, you shared this prayer request with me. I've been praying for you. You know, how's that going? No, if they ask more questions about you later, sure, answer their questions. But, you know, don't forget that, you know, it's not you that matters. And so, yes, humility in my situation is a good thing. But too much of anything can sometimes not be a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, they taught me to to try to think a little more of my situation. So, you know, you can do the same. Hey, you've got the ultimate Cary Grant website. You know?
It's pretty awesome. But one thing that if you look on that site, you'll see names of people who've contributed to the site all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fan's website. The reason it is so enormous is because if you look at the reviews, they're written by Cary Grant fans. I've recently added some Variety and some New York Times reviews on there. Those were given to me by a Cary Grant fan who went to a library and looked up and did an exhaustive search to get me all of those. And then he sent them to me, and I transcribed them. Photographs. The autobiography that's on there was sent to me by someone. It's a fantastic group effort. And in that respect, it's a blessing again, because not only am I giving to people by having this stuff out there, but I'm receiving so much. Just generosity, overwhelming generosity. It's just very humbling.
Well, and like you said, you never know where, you know, this type of thing is going to take you.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like relationships. I mean, you and I have a new friendship. You know, we're brother and sister in Christ. And we'll, you know, start keeping in touch now. And you know, you'll get regular, you know, weekly updates on what's going on the show. And like I said, once again, feel free to tune in, call in anytime. You know, and the thing is that I'm not a real big travel person.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is. Her family's always traveled all over the country on vacations. And so if she goes on vacation, she's got to, you know, go places and stuff. But now, through this show and through some of the contacts I've made and the fact that I'm about relationships, it's not just about, okay, you're on the show, thanks, bye. You know, no, it's about we've got a friendship now, we're going to keep in touch, we're going to keep this thing going, we'll do future shows, you know, that type of thing. You know, I put you on my website, you put me on yours, you know, this type of thing. Now, literally, I've got friends all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Southern, another great Christian, you know, brother in Christ here that did the Lone Ranger show here a while back. He's down in Amarillo, Texas. My wife and kids just went to Texas here a while back. Absolutely loved it. And my wife says, honey, I got to take you on a trip to Texas one of these days. Well, guess what? If I go to Texas, guess somebody will stop by and visit.
Yeah.
Stop by and visit Joe and Sandy and the Lone Ranger fan club folks and that type of thing. And, you know, we keep in touch. I mean, we talk several times via email, you know, every week. And so I mean, we've become very close. We've been sharing prayer requests. His son was just in the hospital this week with some difficulties that I was praying for. And, you know, I share my prayer requests with him. And so, you know, then I've got Jim Meniso with the Titanic Nautical Society out in the New York area. Randy Mantooth from Emergency out in the Los Angeles area. I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm making friends all over the place. And so literally, if I want to take a trip to one of these places now, it's just a given that I'm going to go see those folks.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's happened with this Cary Grant. Well, did you see about the Cary Grant email war bride?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just met in Houston. Talk about Texas. We just met in Houston last month. And it's just people literally from all over the world that have met each other through this website. We get in this mailing list. We get together about once every 18 months just to touch base and put voices and faces to the emails that we send back and forth. And it's really quite wonderful. People have visited and stayed in each other's homes, and just real friendships have occurred because of that. And caring and care packages back and forth when people are sick or been hospitalized or when babies are born. Just really, really some really neat relationships.
Well, and that's that, and in that we're doing exactly what Jesus told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
That no man is an island, that we all need each other, and that we're supposed to go to where the need is, and that we're supposed to love and support and encourage one another and things. And so that's why we're, you know, carrying on the ministry that He's, you know, commanded us to do. And so once again, that's how your website is being a great blessing to people all over the country. And frankly, Debbie, give me some of that. You know, keep me apprised of when that stuff is going on, because I definitely want to become a part of the group and, you know, start getting together with folks and, you know, spending more time discussing and, you know, watching Cary Grant stuff and everything. So, you know, actually, what accomplishments, whether they be movies, family, community, or civic involvement, was Cary Grant the most proud of?
What would you say your greatest accomplishment is?
Probably my family.
There you go. That's exactly what Cary Grant says. Of all the accolades he got, the one thing he cherished most in his life until the day he died was his daughter Jennifer. He absolutely doted on her. He stopped his career once she was coming. That was it. He did no longer did movies, and it was so he could be with her, and he was with her as much as he possibly could. Absolutely loved her.
Okay. Well, that's definitely the right thing to be proud of.
Yeah.
So, was he ever asked to do westerns? And if so, how come he never did any?
If you've seen The Howards of Virginia, and that would be a painful experience. If you've seen The Pride and the Passion, again, another very painful experience, you would know that he did not do period drama very well. If you stuck a cowboy hat on that man, you'd have to put him in a suit because he just wouldn't look right in anything else.
Right.
He just couldn't pull off those period dramas. He was always successful, most successful, when he was wearing a suit. And I don't think he would have managed it. However, I would have loved for him to have made a movie with Maureen O'Hara, because I think she was another who is equal to him in comedic talent.
Yeah, I read her biography recently.
Yeah.
Called Tis Herself by Maureen O'Hara.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of that, I'm actually writing my memoirs now of how I got into entertainment.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I mean, it was just a wonderful book. And I mean, I especially loved reading, like, the part that she did about being in Miracle on 34th Street.
Uh-huh.
And like, I learned that, like, that the Thanksgiving Day Macy's parade, that was the real article.
Oh, really?
They asked if she was in Ireland visiting family, and they made her come back early.
Huh.
So that they could take the real article. And it was just like, you know, and of course she loved working with Edmund Gwynn, and I mean, I have both versions of, you know, Miracle on 34th Street, and that'll always be one of my favorites. But I will say I would have loved to have seen him in something like, you know, Destry Rides Again, or something like Support Your Local Sheriff that James Garner did.
Yeah.
You know, I think he would have been great in some comedic Western roles like that.
I just don't know if you could have dressed him up in Western duds and had it work.
Well, you could have put him in a suit, put a gun on him, and, you know.
We did a fan fiction several years ago with him in the Western, because I always thought he would have been fun in a Western, too. And so we made up our own Western.
Well, yeah, just stick that sheriff or marshal's badge on the outside of a sport coat, you know. Have him in a regular... you know, what are they, the little, you know, Western-type ties and everything, rather than a regular tie, and
would have been great.
We did more of a Mr. Blandings type thing where he went out west and just didn't really fit in there.
There you go. Well, hey, Dave, we're down to about the end of the show here, but just really enjoyed having you on today. Appreciate your availability and willingness.
Well, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Keep up the good work on the website, and I'll keep checking and see what's going on. Keep me apprised, and anytime there's things I can do, if there's ever anything you want me to promote here on the show, I'd be very happy to do so. And like I said, especially if we end up moving back to an eventual Saturday night spot in 1 or 2 hours, we will do another show and get some more people on. And whatnot, so.
Hi! Matt Greene, Shoogie Doogie.
God bless you and your efforts.
All right, thanks again, Debbie. Okay. And once again, you've been listening to the best radio variety show, Perry. We've got Debbie Dunlap, www.carrygrant.net. You will also find her forever inscribed on my website now, www.theloshman.com. And hope you've enjoyed the show, enjoyed the Cary Grant sound bites, enjoyed just talking about his career. Thanks again with Matt for always being here to run the board. And we'll see you again here this time next week. And God bless and have a wonderful week.
Why don't you use an electric razor?
Can't get used to them.
Silly. Bill Cole's been using one for years.
He hasn't got my beard.
Bill's beard is just as coarse.
Not interested in discussing the grain and texture of Bill Cole's hair follicles before I had my breakfast.
All I said was, why don't you use an electric razor?
Because I prefer the clean sweep of the tempered steel as it glides.
No advertising, obviously.